Dear Augie, it's Hirschfelder from the early episodes of your life. Just wanting to give your grumbling little self an update as to what's been happening in Berlin since you and the plot have been gone for over 4 years. I swear, you wouldn't even recognize it here. The buildings are taller, the spirits are lower, and not even just in a metaphorical way. Even the air smells different. Do you remember when we premiered that awful Pirandello play? The one about Salvi's death? The one where the whole show was one long, two-person conversation, and the audience kept saying how real the conversation felt. And do you remember how we had the, knowingly ahead of its time, idea to set the whole show in a working laboratory, and that we told the audience they could use it during the performance, and then every time someone decided to take us up on that offer, we would have to spray the room down with that chlorine disinfectant? And it didn't totally get rid of the smell, but it did add a cold, sterile layer to it. It smells like that. It's funny. I think of those productions often. I'd give anything to... Shit, not again. Where's the bus? Fucking public transportation.
Okay. Ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Heil Hitler!
We got it!
That's the thing about countdowns. 3, 2, 1.
They always succeed.
Ah, jinx! You owe me a schnitzel.
Oh, come on. That should be like 3 schnitzels this week.
9, you must obey the jinx. It's the first rule in the book.
Pretty sure I burned that book.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Fuck books, am I right?
Oh, jinx!
Hey, look what we have here. Howdy, partner.
Hey
there, little boy blue.
More like little boy Jew.
I always like the color blue. The sky is blue. Mine eyes are blue.
Same. Jinx! Oh, we have fun. Now, hey, new friend. We were talking to you.
More like blue friend.
Nice.
So...
Yes, I was just waiting to find a natural point to insert myself into the conversation, but it's such a great rapport between you gentlemen, I didn't want to interrupt.
You think? I think so.
And I gotta say, I do love the jackets. I myself dabbled in leather for a time. But I'm afraid you got me all wrong. I'm not a Jew.
On the one boot, thank you for the compliment. But on the other, that does sound suspiciously like something a Jew would say.
You Jewish, bro? It's okay if you are.
As I already said, no. I'm just on my way to work and, I mean, you know how bad the public transport is.
I actually don't know how bad the public transportation is. As a proud German citizen, I love our public transportation. This all sounds sort of complainy to me.
No, not complainy.
Oh, I think I saw his nose move.
I was just stating a fact. It's the 12:33 and it's already 12:36 and still no bus. I'm just saying there's room for improvement to achieve. The best that we can be. I'm not Jewish.
Relax. They're just messing with you.
Oh, then you... Yes. Wow. What fun you guys get to have. I'm jealous, but since the bus isn't here, I'm going to be late for work, so I'm just going to hail a cab. So nice to meet you all. I'm never going to forget your faces.
Whoa. Come on. What, you don't want to hang out with us?
Yeah, do we smell or something?
I definitely smell.
Whoa, no, you don't, man.
Yeah, I do. From stooping your mom last night.
Ah, Steve, you are on fire.
Oh, man, I am so burned by that, right? Right? Right?
What? You didn't find that funny?
No, there was... definite merit in it. Not taking anything away from that. I didn't want to laugh at your friend who was the recipient of the, burn.
It's okay. Laugh. If you think it's funny, laugh.
Seriously, I'm just gonna...
Laugh at me, bruh.
I'd rather not.
Laugh. Frickin' vehicle, bro.
I think that's the bus I hear.
Papers, please.
Look, officers, I already said I'm gonna be late for work if...
We apologize for the inconvenience, sir. But seeing as you just laughed at a uniformed officer, we just have to make sure you're within your legal rights to do so. Standard procedure. Thank you for your cooperation, Anton Hirschgart. Arts critic for the Berliner?
Critic of art? But like, why?
Gotta put schnitzel on the table somehow.
This reminds me. Time to cash in on that schnitzel!
Oh, come on. You said you weren't even hungry.
As you were, Herr Hirschgart.
Hi!
You bet. So, as you can see, Augie, it's not exactly a semester abroad at the Turkish Baths anymore.
When Zimmer told me of your arrival in America and becoming the head of your own theater, I have to say, without any garnish, I'm proud of you. I'm really happy for you. I hope it's time for the world to see your Lamarck play. Well, that's all I've got for now. Off to review a Protzig Children Theater's production of Titus Andronicus. Stay safe, stay alive, and stay creating. It's the best shot we've got. Write back if you get the chance. These days, a friendly voice does more than I ever thought it could. As sincere as I can be, Anton Hirschfelder.
So, is it a production of Titus Andronicus for children, or a production performed by children?
Brutal. Just brutal.
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 9, The Punchline.
Months had passed for Augie Eckhart since his reunion with Lilith von Hitzler and Gunther Zimmer, and his introduction to the temperamentally titular Vanishing Box at California Polytechnic, right down the street.
Okay, bag, script, non-prescription glasses, luscious apple, non-instant coffee. Ready to go. Ah, fuck, do we not have an umbrella?
In the subsequent 2 months, the air had grown to a frigid 67 degrees. The travel body system was now extended to all mammals in a 5-block radius, as the mysterious killings now seemed to boomerang throughout the neighborhood, targeting mainly strays and singles. And Augie Eckhart had carried on bouncing between assisting Lilith with creating varying conditions for the Vanishing Box, which amounted to him going out on Nescafe instant coffee runs and sweeping up any residual debris, and doing his actual job of beginning and running an entire theater program. The inaugural production of which being the only theatrical anything Augie didn't seem to hate, his own Lamarck play, now cheekily titled The Vanishing Act. Title drop.
We wouldn't keep the umbrella in the garage, would we? Do we even have a garage?
Wanting to appear busy and important, he carried about his day-to-day very particularly, keeping to himself, doing everything he could to avoid a confrontation, or three. That is, until Tech Week arrived.
Shit.
Eckhart, it's Vicky St. Francis, your commissarian from the Humane Cultural Council Committee. Yoo-hoo!
Shit.
Well, boo to you, Herr Eckhart. You just open your blinds. I know you're inside.
Just a second.
Herr Eckhart, it's raining. It's Caucasian keister off out here. Now kindly let me into the GD house.
Vicky, what do you know? You know how great it is to see you. Unfortunately, though, I really have to be...
Oh, hush up, Herr Eckhart. You haven't the charm and I haven't the patience.
Noted.
Do you know why I'm here?
To remind me that I'm not doing my job.
To scold you for not doing your job.
Close. But to be fair, it was less of a job and more of a bribe, right?
It was both. As the head of recruitment for the...
Oh, was that what I was? It's been a few episodes of development in my life since then.
Yes. Do you... Is that Steve Marshall's tuxedo slung over the back of your folding chair?
No?
Regardless, do you know how many inductees we've had to the Humane Cultural Council Committee since you became our head of recruitment?
Two?
None, Eckhart. If there were two, you'd know their names.
You'd be surprised.
Do you know how many new inductees we had in the interim when we didn't even have a head of recruitment?
2?
15.
There are 15 people in the Humane Cultural Council Committee?
There are 53 people in the Humane Cultural Council Committee. You'd know that if you were present at any of the meetings. You'd know that if you'd read any of the literature that is still in your mailbox. Here, by the way. You'd know that if you hadn't done a 1500% worse job than the previous person who held your position, whom I remind you was no one.
Yes, well, that is a problem I am on my way out to solve. Right now. In fact, I'm heading to the college, California Polytechnic, right down the street, to, stir up interest. I've been really massaging this one group of exceedingly impressionable young minds.
Erikhart, the last thing I want to hear about are the young people you're massaging. You had one job, to recruit Maximilian Bohr, and from what I understand, not only have you had several opportunities to do so at one of his ridiculous, stupidly exclusive dinner parties, but now you're living right next door to him. What sort of cultural ambassador are you?
A bad one.
Here, here.
Vicky, I... You know what? You're right.
I know. Elaborate.
I have been doing a very, very poor job. In fact, the more I think about it, maybe one less thing on my plate is the right move for me. Maybe, and it kills me to say this, I'm not the best person to be the head of recruitment for the Humane Cultural Council. Committee.
Oh, we're far past that. You'd know if you came to the meetings. I gave up your chair weeks ago.
What? That's not fair. To who?
Whom?
You tell me whom.
Rudyard T. Godswallop. Your charming friend from the old country.
Oh, fuck that.
You dare curse in front of a lady.
Well, you're not my boss anymore, so it doesn't really seem to matter, does it?
Fine. If that's the way we're going to play, you common fowl, you base, withering little quail, you cock-beaked, overpopulated Carolina wren, then I need the advance back in full.
Oh, toucan play at that game, Vicky. Jesus. That was perfectly good hush money, so I wouldn't tell your husband about you and the new head of Sexy Fun Times Private Evaluations.
Oh, please. As it turns out, C. Marshall wasn't at all surprised when he found out about Rudyard. In fact, just last week. Oh, my.
Yes, wow.
Rudyard.
Quiet.
Hmm? Is that? No, C. Marshall, I can explain. I was lonely and I tripped and I fell and I...
Oh, C. Marshall, you're right on schedule, darling. Table 4-3.
Table 4.
For queen and country, dear.
God, how do I never see this coming?
As it turns out, Rudyard T. Godswallop's sterling sovereign saber staunchly saved my spousal strife.
And, alliteration aside, I am so happy to hear that. Love truly won out over blackmail after all, so let's just call this what it is. I was a bad fit, now you have a good one.
Now I have two.
What? Oh, gross, I got it. But it sounds like you still came out on top here, isn't that enough?
Oh, little Augie. A bit of information you'd never otherwise be privy to. I'm always on top, because do you know what your good old friend Mr. T. Godswallop told me?
No, but I imagine it was unoriginal and super cool.
Allow me to quiz you. What's the Jewish calendar year?
What?
You heard me. What year is it, according to the Jewish calendar?
That's... a trick question. We Jews don't count time in years, just in cold, hard experiences.
It's 5698.
What? No, that's not a real number.
What did you eat for Yom Kippur, Erikhart?
Fish.
It's a day of fast, you boob.
Look, I'm not here to be tested on the observance of my ancestors by some genteel woman. Shiksa. I came to this country to ignore my responsibilities and complain about restaurants just like the rest of you.
Peacock fail all you want, Erikhart, but I know the truth. And unless you do the one job you were supposed to complete for me...
Which was...
Are you serious?
It was ages and plot lines ago.
Your one job was to make Maximilian Bohr a member of the HCCC.
I thought it was to be the head of recruitment.
If I don't have Maximilian Bohr's membership dues in my office by this Friday night at sundown... I know how observant your people are of the Sabbath. Seamarshal is going to put your whole falsified story on page 3 of the LA Times. And, as I'm sure you're aware, all the real Jews in Hollywood will read through page 3.
Vicky, you can't do that. Seamarshal can't do that. I'm his biggest fan.
Oh, please, you didn't even return his tuxedo.
You lent it to me.
2 months ago.
Vicky, please, I don't have time. I have an opening night this Friday, and if you saw the state of the talent I have to work with here... I'll give you one word. Sophomores. They're eager, but they just don't know.
A show, huh? For your little college, I assume. Sounds like a lovely train wreck. Rudyard Seamarshal and I will be sure to attend. I'm sure Seamarshal needs a review for his arts criticism column anyway.
Wait, Seamarshal St. Francis is gonna come to my show?
Friday, at sundown, Eckhart, or you'll be blacklisted from every job in Hollywood faster than you can say shalom, my baby.
Is that a curse? Did you just curse me?
And there better be comps.
I don't even know how to set up comps. Ugh, again? Look, Vicky, I... Jesus!
Not your savior, am I right? Nah, just me, Maximilian Bohr. G-baby, give me his hand for a high five. Oh, yeah.
Vicky, he's here. He just showed up.
Vicky? No, dummy, it's pronounced Max. Unless, oh, God, do you have a face blindness thing?
What? No.
Good, because I am not good at walking back jokes. Gravy Baby and I were just inhaling some snossages down at that Pasadena Wienermobile that's parked by the quad when it started to rain. And we remembered we needed to threaten you about something. So... can my slender ghoul of a friend and I come in?
Maximilian, did you by any chance see Vicky St. Francis on your way in?
Vicky St. Francis? No! And believe me, I would have noticed. That is not a comment on her physical beauty, mind you. I'm just a keen observer of any physical movement. Ain't that right, Gravy?
Eyes like a hawk, sir.
Especially for dames. So, can we come in or what? This is the most sunlight I've been exposed to since Bogart's first wedding. The secret one.
Sir, the rain.
Oh, Jiminy Kansas, that's right. I had Graveman paint the inside of my umbrella hat so that it's always sunny. It's like Sunday in the Park meets the Sistine Chapel meets a hat. So, in?
I just... Yeah. Come in.
Thank you. Oh, you gotta invite Graveman in separately. He's like a frickin' Nosferatu or Buster Keaton's voice in the talkies.
That's not weird, that's completely normal.
Blame it on my programming, sir.
Maximilian, Graveman, really great to see you, but I gotta be-
Rushing. You're always rushing, Eckard. You never stand here and soak in the flowers.
And I'd love to do that, but it's the beginning of Tech Week and you have no idea how far behind we are.
My money not giving you everything you need, Eckard?
No, it's just theater. We're always behind, it's a whole thing.
See, this is why I love the stage. Something could go wrong at any minute. It's like a live movie with just the bloopers.
Your favorite part of the movies, sir.
I don't think I'm alone there. Ain't that right, Air Director?
That bloopers are good? Maximilian, you've been incredibly generous, and I'd love to put your generosity to use, which is why I need to leave now to make sure no one screws anything up.
Yeah, no, we're gonna sit here a minute. You can't walk over there alone, what with the Polytech Slasher on the loose.
Really? That's the name we settled on?
I thought everyone needed a travel buddy.
Believe me, no one is more surprised that I'm willing to walk into a possible slashing for what is basically community theater than me, but I really gotta head out.
But it's raining.
And afternoon.
What? Whose clock was that?
Want some coffee, Eckert?
If it makes this end faster, sure.
Gee diddles, get me the Nescafe instant coffee.
Right away.
Oh, God, you too?
I know, amazing, right?
2 Nescafe instants.
God, that was fast.
For the men of today, and not tomorrow.
Jesus, that's grim. You're like a walking Edgar Allan poem. Get it? It's his last name, but also his chosen profession. Oh, actually, now that I think about it, do you think that's why he did those?
Where did you get the hot water for these?
Mama always said, never leave home without a canteen of hot water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it cuts down on time stopping for Java.
So, Maximilian.
Bubby.
You came here. What's up?
Oh, pish posh applesauce. I just wanted to check in on the status of the production. Oh, remind me, I have to talk to you about comps.
Oh, good. Me too.
And also, as per our conversation last time about Dr. Bailey's obsession.
Right.
I can't believe he'd been pestering me about my family's name and lineage and involvement in some crazy who's it audience disappearing happenstance just because he wanted to make me an accurate family tree. It's so great and useful that you told me that I've completely dropped my inquiries into him. You know, he doesn't get enough credit for it, but he is a super cool guy.
Yep, absolutely no other reason.
Which also reminds me, grave man, serve the man. Here are my great-great-great-grandfather's files on that French wizard's disappearing box. It took Graveman 5 ever to find him, if you know what I mean.
Just had to fend through the weeds.
And fend you did. Yellowed pages, illegible French cursive, receipts. Thank you, Max. Lilith is gonna love these.
Who's what now?
I said look at the palm trees in your hat. Just beautiful.
Right? But that's Gravy Train here. He's a real wizard. With watercolors. Oh, and other colors besides blue. Anyway, I can't wait to see how you pull off this whole disappearing stunt on Friday night.
The whole, sorry, now what?
The disappearing hoax. That is why you wanted the notes, right? You're from Europe. This piece of historical whatever crap happened in Europe. You're borderline endearingly obsessive. This mustard-loving wand waver was probably also a nerd. You asked for my great-great-great-grandfather's notes, so I ought to imagine the show you have in store for us is about whatever in the wild watercolored blue yonder happened all those years ago. And also, much like old great-great-great-gramps De Boer, I checked the receipts of the shows I'm producing. Am I wrong?
No.
So that must mean I'm...
correct?
Right. And I love being right. Hey, Eckhart, don't look so suspiciously terrified. I think it's great. First show in the Boer Auditorium, a.k.a. the Audiburium, being about some historical mumbo bullcrap my family was innocently a part of. It's brilliant. I got the whole RKO Men's Club coming, so you know it's going to be a party.
Mr. Boer.
Imagine your next play being produced by RKO. They could film it and broadcast it on screens coast to coast. People could go to a cinema to see a play. And since it's all highfalutin theater, they'd have to pay way more than they would for a regular movie ticket and be way less satisfied. It's brilliant. Now that's how you play a long game, Eckhart.
That's actually just a lot of pressure. And I don't know if... you do know they're students, right?
Hey, even Frank frickin' Capra had to tumble through the weeds of theater before he stumbled into VAPRA. Anyway, that's why I stopped by. Well, that and the notes and this. Grave down. Toss it.
Consider it tossed.
Nah.
You know what that is, Eckhart?
A projectile hazard?
That's Boer's Boris Bubble Boutique. The patented best car shine slash metal polish on the market. I need the RKO Men's Club to see that little disappearing box beauty up on stage and running completely shined up with Boer's Boris Bubble Boutique.
Actually, the vanishing box is very temperamental, and we need to present it exactly as it would have been presented in 1699 for historical accuracy, and...
and I paid for it. I paid for it all. And I'm gonna keep paying for it. So if you even care about keeping your job, your condo, your full fat milk money, you'll shine that box up like it's Howard Hughes' teddy bear. Or if you decide historical accuracy has no room for brand endorsement, I can bounce this department and your took is so hard, you'll be living beachside in the beds and ghetto. And that's not an anti-Semitic remark. That's a legitimate threat based on a factual place.
Of course. I know that. It's just... couldn't they take your word for it? What if you tell them I applied it to the vanishing box, but then we let it run the way I and Lamarck intended?
No can do, Eckhart. It needs to be so shiny the RKO Men's Club can see their pasts in it.
Does anyone really want that?
You have no idea the kind of stuff the RKO Men's Club is into. So, sound good? Everything here pretty much, yep, okay. GBB, let's boogie. I got that lunch appointment with the thing in the place.
Lunch by yourself near the fireplace, right on schedule.
Eckard, great talk. I look forward to seeing this baby sing Friday night. And not literally. But if it does, bonus. G-time, the door, please. It is coming down. Tails and whiskers out here. Tails and whiskers, I say.
Your hat, sir.
My hat? What kind of... Oh, yeah, my hat. Yeah, thank you. Oh, the palm trees they give me every time. Beautiful day for a ruse, ain't it, Eckard? Beautiful day.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. What time is...
20 minutes. Ah. Past the hour.
Graveman, how did you get in here?
You invited me in.
Yes, but that... Okay. Graveman, look, I'm sorry. I really don't have time for this. I've got to go.
Quite brave of you to tread out of here all alone, Herr Eckhart.
Well, color me Galahad.
What with the Polytech slasher still on the loose?
Okay, we've really got to come up with something better than that.
Why, Herr Eckhart? Not evil enough? Not an accurate descriptor for the horror and depravity left in his or her wake.
Right, her. Wake me up when that headline's here. No, I just...
Do you enjoy the intoxicating energy of fear, Herr Eckhart?
Is this a riddle? Can you write it down so I can ignore it when I get back?
Do you know that when an animal feels fear, their brain releases cortisol and adrenaline into the blood, reducing inflammation and raising one's tolerance for pain? Even gives them a little shot of glucose to kickstart their energy.
Of course, I knew that. This is such a very normal conversation for two people to have.
Well then, how about the fact that the blood carrying the maximum amount of fear a person could feel could hypothetically turn them superhuman? Albeit driven by impulse, but imagine if that fear could allow one to achieve remarkable things.
Remarkable. I'm right there with you, but seriously, if I could just scoot by you?
Perhaps even achieve otherworldly things.
Crap. Go on.
Strange, the murders haven't stopped. Wouldn't you say?
Sure, strange. Now, go back to the stuff about how fear blood could make you magic, or... You know what? I guess I'm just not gonna make it to this rehearsal. Zimmer's got this.
Indeed. At that very moment, Augie's assistant director slash stage manager, Gunther Zimmer, was currently conducting rehearsal in the only way he knew how.
All right, cast. So just follow my lead. Zip.
Zap.
Good.
Do you ever wonder why this Polytech slasher keeps slashing, Herr Eckhart?
Honestly, no.
You don't?
Nope.
But aren't you fearing for your life every second of every day that you and your colleagues' lives hang quite literally in the balance between life and death? That doesn't worry you?
Graveman, look, since there's no way I'm making it to this rehearsal now, I don't know if you've ever directed a show with a bunch of sophomore non-majors before, but it's like trying to explain to yourself that being celibate for 5 years was a choice. Gazoon type. Besides, I already know who the killer is.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I've known for a while exactly who the rat bastard is.
Rat bastard? Yes, your hate is... delicious. Palpable, even.
Oh, yeah. I knew from the beginning, from the start, I couldn't even stand to be around the guy.
And yet you decided to wait until the opportune moment. Mano a mano. Bravo, Herr Eckhart. What an unexpectedly vulpine mind you have.
Vulpine like a fox. You know, I gotta say, this is a relief. I knew I couldn't be the only one who knew about Rhett D'Elia.
Rhett... D'Elia?
Yeah, the guy from Administrative Services. Plain as the size 18s on your feet.
And so you think it's this... Why?
Are you kidding? It's got that asshole stink all over it. Cryptic, over the top, sloppy.
Sloppy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was me, I'd take care of the bodies one at a time. No need to rush, because I'd do this after hours. That way, I can take my time.
You don't believe that... inventive tableaus created by the corpses drained of the fear blood to be about perhaps, I don't know, say, harnessing an ancient energy seldom known to those who do not seek its power in order to achieve powers heretofore unseen for hundreds of years and lost generations?
I mean, I'd hope so. Otherwise, he's just being sloppy for sloppy's sake. And I'm the head of a collegiate-level theater department. I don't have time for amateur hour nonsense, contrary to whoever makes up my cast.
Amateur. Well, I...
Besides, you want to know the main giveaway?
Do your worst.
It's the poof.
The poof?
Rhett D'Elia keeps doing that stupid poofing trick he learned from administrative services whenever he leaves. When I saw the killer at the scene of the crime, I called after him, quite heroically ran to wrestle him to the ground American style, and then poof, he was gone, just like Rhett D'Elia's always doing.
And you don't think it could be any other well-trained rogue administrative serviceman?
I mean, sure, but he's the only one I know, so... I swear, whose clock is that? God damn it. What now? I just want to go to work. Ugh, why is that a thing I say now?
I'll take that as my cue to leave, Herr Eckhart. And until we meet again, I hope your postulation proves correct. Fumus exitus!
A smoke bomb? Wait, is he? No, he's a butler. Okay, you know what? Fuck this. If there was a god, this is why he invented Windows.
And as Augie Eckhart tried to escape his own one-floor condo through his own first-floor window, he was blocked by the surprise appearance of the man Augie believed to be the Polytech Slasher.
Rhett D'Elia. Where is that sound coming from?
Dark, like the night. His apartment was dark, as if he was going somewhere. Where are you going, Augie?
So, where are you going, Augie?
Now, listen to me. Back up, you walking trench coat. I know who you are.
I would hope. You did just say my name.
Yeah, exactly. I know who you are. And what you did, and I never went to the cops, okay? So, see, I'm not like a rat or whatever you people call those people, so you shouldn't kill me.
Kill you?
The man was obviously confused. The wild look in his eyes was like a matador seeing his bullish counterpart at a five-star hotel's cocktail lounge. This was a confused man. A confused man on the edge.
Let's calm down, Augie. Talk this out like men.
Fine. Fine. Like men who stay on that side of the room, while I stay over here.
For as many thoughts as were running through Augie's fear-ridden noggin, as it were, the first he could make out clearly was a throwaway piece of advice Conrad Webley Griffson had told him during an inconsequential dinner not important enough to make the A, B, or C plot of this story.
See, old sport, that's why Phoebe always said, when you see the bear, don't run. That's what they expect. Just soil yourself. Then they know who's boss, and they'll have to run away.
They'll have to run away.
It's the confidence, Augie. The bear fears the confidence of a man who soils himself.
And with that knowledge in mind, Augie began to... Oh my God, is he really trying to...
No way he's trying to...
I'm sorry, are you trying to...
Stay back. I'll shit myself right here and now. I do not care about these corduroys.
Thank God that's over.
Wait a second.
Who are you?
I'm the... I see. How can you hear me right now?
I'm third-person omniscient, darling. I know what's going on with everyone.
Oh, I'm first-person limited, so I only know about me.
Right. But...
But what?
It's just that I'm omniscient, and as such, I should have been made aware that you had your own narration and point of view.
Let's just say when the only thing you mix into your black coffee every morning is a healthy tablespoon of secrets, some of them are bound to stick.
Why aren't either of us speaking right now?
But I don't even understand. Even if you were to have your own private narration, which I'm not mad about, mind you, just processing, I'd know about it. That is the point of being omniscient.
Have you ever slowed down to think maybe you're not as omniscient as you thought?
I don't like what you're inferring here, sir.
Should I? Are you gonna talk?
I live my life as a shadow. The twitch in the top right corner of your view. The wind behind your ear. The flicker in the flame. If I'm noticed, I'm not doing my job.
And if I don't notice you, I'm not doing mine.
Maybe you just have to accept it. You're not omniscient. You're third person multiple.
You take that back, you dirty pig fuck!
Everyone's got their buttons. Sometimes you just need to know where to push.
Now you wait just a gosh darn goddamn minute here. You're trying to tell me that you're... Wait a minute, I just need to check to make sure these two are... Okay, good. That's still going nowhere. Now back to you. You don't get to go around dictating who is what and how many people they know the intimate details of. You don't get to play God.
Yeah? Well, as far as I'm concerned, that job posting went up a long time ago.
Oh, well, what makes you think you had the right to answer it then? I don't even know why I'm ruffling my feathers over you. You only know the thoughts of one person. One minuscule set of dreams and fears and thoughts, that's it. I know Augie's, I know Griffson's, I even know Tommy fucking Two Hands, and he's just a day player.
Then I guess you should ask yourself, who's your blind spot?
Right, I'm gonna sit down, I guess.
Same here.
Do you want a water or something to drink?
Do you have seltzer?
Is that like tonic?
No, it's the water with just carbonation. Never mind.
Right. Tonic?
No, tonic has quinine. Seltzer is just carbonated water.
Oh, you mean just the water with the bubbles?
Yes. Seltzer water.
What's wrong with regular water?
Nothing's wrong with it.
Because I don't have that kind of water.
That's fine.
I'm just saying, because you asked for it.
I asked if you had it. I'm okay if you don't. It's just water.
Right. Okay.
Now, what was he playing at? Some sort of code with the waters? Or did he genuinely...
Okay, sorry. You know, I gotta ask. What is it with the seltzer thing? Like, what's the big deal?
I don't know. It's bubbly. It's something different. A healthy alternative to soda.
What's unhealthy about soda?
Do you know how much sugar they put in soda?
No. How much?
You know, the bottles they come in?
The glass ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half of that is sugar.
Half the bottle?
Well, not the bottle itself, but the contents of it.
That's horrible.
I know.
How do they get away with that?
Some people like the taste, I guess.
People are killing themselves and they don't even know about it?
Right. You drink a lot of soda?
No, not really.
There you go then. You're fine.
Thank God.
Okay. What?
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a trap anymore.
A trap? No, it was never a trap, you nitwit. And since you've distracted me, now the story has no direction. I have to completely get us back on track.
Just for the record, I was always on track.
Oh, shove off.
Just one of the benefits of only being responsible for one point of view.
I'm trying to concentrate. I need to remember the consciousness of over 50 different characters and their respective arcs.
Arcs? That's generous.
Oh, go piss in someone else's pond. Now, where were we?
I had come over to warn Augie about Graveman probably being the Polytech Slasher. Your guy was trying to poop himself, I think. I can't be sure.
Well, I can. Augie had just given up on trying to soil himself when the thought suddenly arose.
Wait, so you're not here to try and kill me?
No, don't you understand, man? I'm not the killer. I'm the furthest thing from a killer.
A baker?
Nothing gets past you, kid.
I know that. Then what were you doing with the dead body?
Which one?
See, it's hard for me to think you're innocent when you say stuff like that.
Are any of us really innocent, Augie?
What are you, an existentialist now?
No. I'm a scientist.
This wasn't the first time since Augie entered the world of California Polytechnic that he heard someone refer to themselves as a scientist. In fact, the last person who bandied about that title was also in the Physics Institute the night Augie discovered the dead body. Someone who also had a rather well-fitting trench coat. Someone who also knew a lot about mysterious alternative energy solutions aimed at powering a rather accurately designed replica of Lamarck's vanishing box.
Oh my God, are you?
Someone Augie knew from a past life.
The reason that fucking saxophone keeps playing? I just put it together. Every time I see you, I hear that saxophone. It's gotta be you.
I'm feeling less and less relevant to this story. Physically, emotionally, existentially. I could just really use a win right now.
Wait, he can hear the saxophone?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes to your question.
My question?
Wait, he can hear me too?
Yes, I can hear you and your saxophone. And you know what? Controversial opinion, I hate brass instruments.
It's a woodwind.
What?
I said it's a woodwind?
You're a woodwind.
All right. Obviously, you have a bit of an advantage here, only having to fill in the blanks for one person, so can we please stop confusing the man? He's very small, very distractible, and I've basically had to hold his hand to this much emotional development.
True.
Oh, so you can hear me? You just choose to ignore all my setups and moral advice and requests for employee healthcare?
What?
Okay, so now I'm lost too. Who can hear who?
Whom?
What?
Whom can hear who? Fucking amateurs.
Okay then, maybe it's time for the mask to come off.
Oh good, I don't even think he realizes how many dots there are to connect.
No, I don't. Oh my God.
And it was in that moment, Augie Eckhart realized that Rhett D'Elia was in fact...
wearing Lilith's clothes? Literally, where and how do you get off wearing a female lab coat?
This is what's going to break me.
Is he serious right now? Maybe take off the mustache?
Lilith!
Yes!
There is no such thing as a female lab coat, Augie. Lab coats are unisex.
Agree to disagree, but oh my God, I can't believe it's you!
I know. I trained for 2 years under the disguise masters of the Carpathian Empire.
Wait, the Carpathian Empire? I've never even heard of.
That's how well disguised they are.
So many questions about their census etiquette. Lilith, I won't tell a soul. Just please... don't kill me. I think I just had the realization in the last 5 minutes I'd actually be pretty afraid to die. So that's progress?
Augie, I'm not going to kill you. I wasn't the one who killed those people around the college. It was Graveman.
Graveman?
Graveman.
No, but he's a butler.
Oh, come on! You know what? I think I'm done for this episode. My head hurts, I have to completely reevaluate my identity and purpose, and I kind of just need a cuddle, so I... I think I'm done.
I hear you. I'd offer to go grab a drink, but major drawback of being first person, I kinda have to stay here.
Huh. I guess you're right. Well, score one for the third person limited, I guess.
Hey! Third person multiple.
I... thank you.
Don't mention it.
So, I'll be seeing you around then, I'm sure.
Of course. Next time his head's on right and she's busy by herself, maybe a rain check for that drink?
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that a lot.
Why is no one talking? Am I having a stroke?
Oh, so now he can't hear me. What are the fucking rules when you... Oh, what would your mother say? What would your mother say? So you just had to take the non-union narration, didn't you? Oh, I just really want to do new work, Mum. I could be doing audiobooks at Penguin fucking Classics, doing Alexander Dumas or Bronte. The good one.
So...
I'm gone.
Should I put on some music or something? Did you still want that tonic?
It was seltzer, and no, Augie, I don't have much time.
You're telling me I was supposed to be at our first technical rehearsal 5 hours ago. Zimmer's probably worried sick.
Good. And... Zop. So, now seems like a good place to begin the run.
So, plot-wise, what's going on?
You tell me, Augie. I was hiding on your roof when I saw...
You were spying on me?
Only since you started at the school.
Seems fair.
And I saw that Maximilian Bohr came by and...
Right, the notes you asked me to ask him about.
Yes, to be able to cross-check our trials. We'll get to those in a minute,
but first, you need me to clean up the lab so you can get another test run going. Fine. But I would love to talk to you about a more hands-on partnership with this whole vanishing box exercise.
Exactly. Which is why I...
Okay, good. Because for a while, and I'm not one to complain, we both know this, but it just felt like every day you were trying and failing and...
Are you seriously not even gonna listen when I've got big news?
Yeah, no, I will. But always trying and failing and trying and failing, and I get someone needs to clean up after, but it always...
Smoke bomb!
Yeah, Lilith, where did you...
I'm right here.
Oh my god, you're so...
Think twice before you finish that.
Close?
Strong, medium choice? It worked.
It worked?
It worked.
What worked?
It worked!
It? Worked. It worked?
It worked.
The machine worked?
That was the it in question. I did it.
How? I thought you said it wasn't...
Exactly, but it was. Oh, Augie, it was. It was working so well. I placed this gorgeous, beautiful, luscious red apple on the stool, set all the levels to exactly where they were for trial 3,875. You know,
the good one.
I had Bailey watching to ensure the same exact trial specifics were in place. He kept telling me a machine like this probably wouldn't work without a real energy source, and poof, gone, vanished. I came over immediately to tell you.
Oh, so you've been having Bailey helping you out too.
It is Bailey's office. He has to be there sometimes. Unfortunately, it's been more often this past week since he had a breakthrough on his latest invention.
Probably some super cool, awesome thing to make you be cooler.
Actually, he just adapted Alan Turing's notes on computable numbers into bite-sized particle waves to be solely read and sold as aviator sunglasses.
So cool.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Totally not.
The thing is...
There's another thing?
There's always another thing, Augie. Always. This other thing is that when I set up the experiment again once Bailey had left, nothing. No poof! I ran the exact trial specifics. I even retraced my steps, both on paper and in actual steps. I even used the same special lubricating liquid. Nothing.
I think you're ignoring the fact that you still got it to work. This is a big deal. We should celebrate. You know, I don't normally skip rehearsals, but for you, now, I think I can make an exception.
What? Absolutely not. This isn't preschool, Augie. I don't want a participation trophy.
You got participation trophies in preschool? God, you are from a different generation.
You have no idea. There must have been something to having Bailey there.
Figures.
Or anyone. Any stooge, any simpleton, any mouth-breathing thrill-seeker, any audience. Something about the energy between the machine and an audience. Something I can't quite put my fingers in yet.
I don't think
that... I know.
Okay. Wait a minute. I think I can give you something that Too Cool Computer Glasses Dr. Handsome Doctor can't give you.
I told you, Augie, I'm really not interested in you that way.
I'm aware. I'm talking about an audience. I think I have a way of getting you to completely replicate Lamarck's vanishing act.
Title drop?
What are you saying, Augie?
Most of the time, a combination of appropriately nuanced genius and bullshit. But this time, I'm saying that I've got a stage, I've got a vanishing box, and this Friday night, I've got access to a sold-out house of mouth-breathing audience members.
So, would I have to learn lines?
I didn't see the other guy anywhere, so I guess I'll take this one. Back to the beginning. The streets of Berlin whistled, but not the jaunty tune of the early 30s, no. Today, the only thing whistling was the wind through the empty streets, bouncing off the nearby buildings, flying through the parks, whizzing through the slits in the benches where a man, Anton Hirschfelder, sat waiting for his bus, minding his own business and wanting something to eat.
I said, I don't even know what in media res means. I'm still going to burn your film print, Mr. Lang.
I still can't believe you met him.
Well, looky here, boys. Is that art critic from last week?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Hushgart. You know, we looked up some of your articles. I wasn't much appreciative of your review of the new Reifenstahl picture. What did he say again?
Propaganda for illiteratis? Oh, yeah, bet you didn't think an illiterati could read that.
By definition, you wouldn't be illiterate if you could read it, so...
That's what I'm saying. He gets it.
Does he, though? Because I thought the picture was a classic. What about you, boys?
Best film of the year so far.
I'm burning through my paychecks trying to get back to the theater.
Maybe it's time to reconsider your review.
It's the Jew magic I read about on that poster.
I thought you said you couldn't read.
I can't. Shut up.
If he made an apple appear, what else could he conjure?
Ugh, what a bird! What a bird, hell!
Running away from another little old apple? Lord, one day you're gonna have to tell me the punchline to this joke.
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. This episode was sound designed by me, Daniel Eddie Williams. And original music was composed by Baldemar. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Tina Munoz-Pandya as Lilith von Hitzler, Jess Reidenauer as Vicky St. Francis, Sean Fouch as Maximilian Bohr, Chris Visaraga as Graveman, David Blixt as Narrator 2, Lauren Stepney as Anton Hirschfelder, Brandon Wilders as Officer 1, Michael Morrow as Officer 2, Jay Donnelly as Officer 3, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Grifson, Sam Hubbard as Rudyard T. Codswallop, Jacob Mundell as Zimmer, Ian Gears as C. Marshall, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the narrator. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at VanishingPod or on our website, vanishingpod.com. Join us next time for Part 10, The Eye Patch.
Hey, hello, everyone. How are you all doing tonight?
I'm supposed to say that we promised to bring you the very best one-star reviews from all across the multiverse. But you know what? I don't believe it. I don't believe that for one second.
I'm rating my driver Marcus one star. Not for his driving ability, but instead for his disloyalty and cowardice.
I love the moon. Yeah! Moon! Moon! Moon!
And as an independent podcast team with the entirety of our egos and self-worth wrapped up in the perceived success of our shows, we know firsthand that receiving a one-star review can, at times, be the most traumatizing experience in a person's life.
I don't even like the mall! I prefer La La Rue leggings and my essential oils. But these kids wouldn't shut up about, "Let's go to the mall! Karen, take us to the mall!"
So what am I supposed to do? These aren't my kids. Their well-being is not my problem.
Welcome back once again to the Space Windu for what is sure to be the worst podcast in the world, The One Stars.
This has nothing to do with the movie Space Jam. I love Michael Jordan, and I've always been a fan of Bugs Bunny, basketball, and Aliens.
I set the gun down on the merry-go-round, turned my back for like 30 minutes tops, came back from the slide, and it was gone. Just gone. No clue what happened there. But that's actually what led me to your product. The One Stars is a Good Point podcast.